All lines are now bridged.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the HITECH Information Blocking Task Force kickoff meeting. As you all are probably aware, the HITECH was charged with providing recommendations in response to ONC's recent release of the 21st Century Cures Act proposed rule. And in such, we have established four task forces that will be dividing up that work, and today is the first of these meetings. So I know we have a full agenda today, but so just a couple of reminders for our HITECH members. If you're on the Adobe, we will, as usual, use the hand-raising feature when we have a question or comment, and our chairs will call on you. And for members of the public, we do encourage you to dial in to the public comment section of the agenda a little later in the call. And with that, I will take official roll and call the meeting to order. Andy Tressat?
Yeah.
Michael Adcock?
Here.
Stephen Lane?
Here.
Cheryl Turney? Denise Webb?
Present.
Sasha Termoff?
Here.
Yeah. Hi, Sasha. Erin Meary? Not that. Arian Malik?
Good morning.
Good morning. Valerie Gray?
Good morning. I'm on.
Anil Jain?
Good morning.
Cynthia Fisher?
Yes, I'm present.
Good morning. John Kansky?
Here.
Lauren Thompson? And Denning McCollum?
Present.
Thank you so much. We'll circle back a little later. Folks join later on the call. So with that, I would like to turn it over to our co-chairs, Michael Adcock and Andy Tressat, for a round of introductions.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Adcock. I am the Executive Director at the Center for Telehealth and one of the co-chairs for the Information Blocking Task Force that you have all volunteered for and been assigned to. We're happy to be here. My role at the Center for Telehealth is I lead the one of the largest centers for telehealth across the country, one of two centers of excellence for telehealth, and obviously interoperability and information blocking and all of these proposed rules will impact what we do as we work with over 200 agencies and sites across the state of Mississippi and outside of the state, all with different health needs, different health IT needs, and different data points, including the patients and general public. So this is something that's very near and dear to my heart, and I know that it is yours as well. That's why we had so many people volunteer. Looking forward to this task force, and I'm going to turn it over to Andy to introduce himself.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody. It's Andy Truscott here. I'm Managing Director with Accenture, and I'm responsible for our provider practice here in North America. I'm pleased to meet you all. I'm familiar and met many of you before. Thanks ever so much for the interest in this group as well, being taken by members of the public who've also joined. And please do feel free to comment. We do read every comment that comes through, and we will be taking those on board in our thoughts and deliberations as we go forward. Thank you so much. Mike, back to you.
Thank you, Andy. As Andy said, we're all happy to be here. We're all members of HITECH, so we all know each other. I would like that if we could advance the slide, please, to the next slide. You can see a list of who all is on the committee. We won't go into a lot of detail there. We've worked with each other. We've been on HITECH calls together. We've seen each other in meetings. So I would like, if we could, to move to the next slide and let the ONC support staff introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm the Designated Federal Officer for the full committee. Is Cassandra on? Is Mike Lipinski on? Okay, Mark?
Hi, yeah, Mark is here. This is Mark Nee. I'm a staff lead for information blocking. I work in the Office of Policy at ONC, and I've devoted quite a bit of my time over the last few years to information blocking, so looking forward to the discussion we're going to have in the coming weeks. So thanks, everyone, for being on.
Thanks, Mark. Is Penelope on?
Oh, yep. Hi, this is Penelope Hughes. I'm with ONC. And I'll be supporting the task force, in particular the work around the conditions and patients to serve.
Thank you. Is Morris on?
Yes, good morning. I'm Morris Landau. I also work in the Office of Policy with Mark Nee, and will be serving as a backup and support for him.
Thank you, Morris. And Lauren Wu, are you on?
I think Lauren said she was unable to make it today.
Okay. All right. We'll turn it back to you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to move right now and let Mark go over our next slide, please. We'll move now into Mark and let him talk about the task force charge, what we're trying to accomplish over the next several weeks.
Sure. Thanks, Michael and Andy. So this slide is pretty straightforward. As you all know, this is the information blocking task force, and our goal is to provide recommendations on policies related to information blocking. And this also includes the information blocking and assurances and communications conditions and maintenance of certification requirements, as well as the enforcement of all of the conditions and maintenance of certification requirements. As we'll get into, as this presentation goes on, Michael and Andy will discuss how we're going to tackle this. There's quite a few topics that we need to get through, so we've decided on an approach where we split up into different work groups, and I will let them discuss the details of that. Here's a high level of what topics we're going to be talking about. With information blocking, we'll start with relevant definitions and interpretations of statutory terms and provisions, which will include price information, request for information that we included in the proposed rule. We'll dig into the 7 proposed exceptions to the information blocking definition, as well as our request for information for any additional exceptions. We'll talk about the complaint process concerning information blocking, as well as the request for information regarding disincentives for healthcare providers. And then the last couple bullets are just the conditions and maintenance of certification requirements for information blocking, assurances, and communications, as well as the enforcement, like I mentioned before. One thing I do want to note is when Andy and Michael and myself met, we talked about some of the objectives of this work group, or of the task force and the work groups within it. We want to try to focus on the big issues and avoid getting caught up on discussing minutiae and kind of getting stuck in the weeds as much as possible, even though with information blocking, sometimes the weeds are very important. So finding a good balance there within each work group. We're trying to have a fair and balanced conversation in all the work groups and in the full task force. And as we'll get into when we go over the full calendar, it's a pretty aggressive timeline, and we're going to try to cover all of the topics by the March 19th and 20th HITECH meeting, because that's when the draft recommendations will be presented. So next slide. All right. And so here is a very high-level draft timeline for the task force, and this is the same for all of 4 task forces. So as you'll see, it's a bit front-loaded, so we want to try to get through all the different issues by that week 5 in red. And then there's a number of weeks, 6 weeks after that, to update and revise the recommendations and work on our final recommendations that will be submitted via the transmittal letter. So I think that's pretty straightforward, and I will turn it back over to Michael and Andy for the next section.
Andy, if you want to start the conversation.
Okay,
I'll
jump in. Yeah, no, so next slide then, please. Okay, so in terms of the work group structure, what we've kind of hit upon is, one, some core principles here. The task force itself will look at everything. But in order to get through the workload that we have, we're going to split this up into 3 work groups, which individual members of the task force will be assigned to a single work group. But obviously, you can contribute on any particular facets of what we're considering in the main task force session as well. And basically, this is because of the timeline we're working to. And one of the questions that I'm sure you've got in your mind is, well, why is it such an aggressive timeline? The bottom line is we need to line up with the public consultation as well. so that ONC has everybody's input to go forward, and we're not mucking up how they go about the final rulemaking. So that's why I think this is a good route thing. I think this is a way of the task force being more meaningful and more aligned to the intent of the rulemaking, et cetera. And it is what it is in terms of the workload. So we've gone through and defined these three work groups. And these work groups are deliberately targeted at particular facets of the charge for the task force. But we're also mindful that everyone who's on this task force is very, very interested in the entire scope of what the rules are looking to achieve, and recognise that there are actually some areas of potential softness in the current drafts where we might want to bring forward more thinking, as well as modifying the existing thinking. So members, you are absolutely charged with creating additional thought leadership in here if we see that as relevant and appropriate. So as I work through these groups, the first group is looking at the statutory terms and provisions. So what we're doing is looking at the terms as they're currently structured and defined inside the rules, and also expecting about, you know, are these sufficient? Where, you know, that this last bullet point on here, when we're looking at the parties, you know, the actors which are impacted by these provisions, you know, how illustrative do we want to be in, you know, looking at both traditional and non-traditional parties who could be impacted? So this work group needs to be considering that as well. We go to the next slide, please. Okay, so the second work group is specifically around the exceptions. Okay, and so looking at, are these exceptions structured correctly? Are they, what impacts can we see which can be both foreseen and also the potential unintended consequences of these exceptions as well? And so this work group needs to be considering those. On to the next slide, please. And then, so how are we actually going to maintain these certifications? So what are the conditions? What's the maintenance? How is it key into the existing processes which are undergone? Do we actually want to use this as an opportunity to finesse that in some way or augment, or how do we want that to work? And that's the focus for this group. And let's go on to the next slide. There we go. And these are the proposed memberships. Now, we've already received some feedback from people who are like, well, maybe we could be in another group. And that's fine. And I'm happy to have this conversation right now across the members. If people, you know, are looking at this saying, oh, that makes sense to me, or I'm not sure it does make sense, please take on board my earlier point that all of us can contribute across all of this. This is purely for getting the process moving, for actually looking through and documenting out initial concerns and thoughts, etc. And if I'm just going to pick on people. If Lauren had a particular thought around exceptions, I'm absolutely sure that Valerie, Anil, Cynthia and John would be delighted to have those particular thoughts and weave those into their thinking. I'm just picking on you there. But so this is kind of what we were thinking as we went through the specification. Task force members, what are your thoughts here?
Hey, this is Arian, and I've been one of the people who raised their hand and requested moving around. You know, I'm more than happy to do whatever the chairs think is appropriate on a sub-work group level. Just recognize that I'm going to have lots of opinions when it comes to the exceptions, the output of the exceptions task force or work group. So, I just think it's a balance of making sure that we have enough time at the full task force level for making sure that other input into the work group output are considered and discussed.
And that's good feedback. And I'll be completely straight with you. When I saw you raise your hand for this task force, which I had anticipated, but I was very, very happy that you were going to be part of this, because we would be a poorer task force if you weren't involved. So, and I recognize, and as much as Mike, that you have input across all the work groups. You know, we would like to keep the work groups balanced in terms of numbers as far as possible, because we think that's going to be an optimal way of actually working through. Maybe it's if you found someone who would like to be in the first group from the second, then maybe we could work it out as a swap. You know, it feels like I'm running a baseball team or something all of a sudden. But
I gotta say that definitions are where all the bodies are buried. And I'm more than happy, as I said, I'm more than happy to do my job in whatever work group we have. But if there's somebody who feels very strongly about getting into the definition of provider, getting in the definition of health information network, health information exchange, the very definition of information blocking, there's a lot of good content buried in the definition of actor. There's a lot of really good content buried in the definition section. So I'm putting together a good bid for a swap, but I'm more than happy to do my duty.
Thank you, sir. Look, frankly, I agree with absolutely everything you're saying, and I will go a bit step further. And we were talking about this as we were setting up the task force. Whilst exceptions, are definitely called out, inclusions are not as explicit. So there's actually a whole bunch of stuff in that group one, and you have made a good call for it. I see that Stephen has got his hand raised.
Yes, thank you so much, Andy. And I'm going to complicate things further by saying very similarly to Arian that I think that the exceptions is an area that I will have a lot of thoughts about. I think as a clinician who works with these issues on a day-to-day basis and actually experiences what feels like information blocking in our organization and in our region, I have had a lot of thought about that. So here again, let me throw my name on the waiting list for the exceptions group. And if there's somebody there who would rather be in group three, I would be happy to swap. Otherwise, I'm happy to serve in whatever capacity I'm assigned.
I think what I'm hearing, Andy, is that there is a lot of interest in exceptions. And maybe the right thing for us to do, who are also deeply passionate and interested in exceptions, is maybe request that the exceptions work group go forward with the exceptions. Maybe there's seven of them, so chunk through and then bring them to the full task force's attention so that we can have a healthy and vigorous debate where everybody can get involved. Because it sounds like there's a lot of people who want to get down into the seven exceptions.
I'll be frank with you. I'm sorry if this didn't come through clearly. That's the exact process we're going to be doing.
Awesome. Maybe the takeaway is all of us who are deeply passionate about exceptions will have an opportunity to have robust and vigorous discussion.
You will have an opportunity for robust and vigorous discussion, and should know me well enough by now to know that I fully endorse robust and vigorous discussion. There's a double-edged sword by individuals' interests as well. Are you too interested? And is it going to slow down the cadence that group needs to work at?
Yeah, I hear you. And the discussion about weeds is a really interesting one, because there are cases where the exceptions get weedy indeed, but there are also cases where those weeds are there's a lot of import to how specific words are interpreted in the exceptions. Anyway.
Agreed. Okay, we're on the same page. I see Cheryl and John have both put their hands raised. So, Cheryl?
I just wanted to clarify one thing, and I apologize if I missed it, but with all these subgroups, they're not going to be meeting at the same time, right? They're all going to be meeting at different times, so we could still participate, not in an official capacity, right?
If you have that level of time on your hands, then absolutely. I'm not going to stop that. I also should point out at this point that the working groups will not be in public. The main task force obviously will be, as our obligation is to veto, but the actual work groups won't be. So that should aid the cadence of those groups too. But if you can attend, it's a bit of a balance here. We're trying to keep the memberships lighter for each of the work groups so they can move quicker. And this is based upon experience of running such things before, where it's not necessarily a function of who's interested. It's a function of we need to be expedient and we need to trust each other as a group. You know, it's another reason why we're an exclusive high-tech membership task force, because we are used to working together and we do trust each other and trust that we're going to reach consensus within those work groups, which we can then bring together to the task force. So whilst we're not going to stop it and say, no way, I think my personal feeling, and Mike, you know, you can comment here as well as my co-chair, will be try to focus on the one that you have in front of you.
No, Andy, I think you summed it up nicely. This is Michael again. I agree. We've got a lot of work to get through, and we're going to have time in the task force, in the actual task force to go through, and if there's any objections or if there are any thoughts that need to be brought up, we'll have time to discuss it all together. But I do think that there is more than enough work for four people in each subgroup to get done. So I think that we can move quickly through that and then have some vigorous discussion about it in the task force. I see that John has his hand raised. Can we, John?
Yeah, just real quick, I'm going to resist the temptation to auction off my hot seat on group number two, but I'd like to have a better understanding of the group one task or focus, and maybe willing to trade with Arian as a representative of Health Information Exchange.
Oh, poor Stephen. But okay, yeah, if you flip back three slides. Please. Whoever's in control. Don't make me do it. Okay, fine. So, this is the scope of group one. It's about the definitions which are included in the rules right now, including this EHI one, which I know has stimulated significant conversations. And, you know, the third and fourth bullet points are quite interesting here too. As well as the exclusions, there's the inclusions to blocking. So we want to be clear about those. And the parties, because one of the issues that we've all seen over time is that the definition of who's actually impacted by these has become less clear with the ambiguity around the definition of what is a provider, for example. So that group is going to be looking at that.
And what about health information networks and health information exchanges? Is that limited to clarifying definitions, or is there more to it than that?
Well, if you could limit yourselves to clarifying definitions, that would make it an easier task, but I suspect you probably won't. And actually, given your role at Indiana, it's probably sensible this might be an area that's of definite interest to you.
So I will offer you latitude to move me if that solves a problem.
I don't think there's a problem to be solved, but Arian, do you want to swap into two if John goes to one?
I would love to.
There we go. Job done.
Thank you.
Sorry, Stephen. Denise, you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to work on the group I'm assigned to. What I think might be helpful for all of us, though, I don't know how many of you have read the two rules, draft rules. It's a lot to get through. And I think it'd be really helpful to actually identify the pages within the rule that are relevant to group one, group two, and group three. It will help to have a better understanding of exactly which language in the rule we're addressing. And I know it does follow the outline of the rule, but like I said, it'd be good to have some focus in the rule.
Yeah, Jenny, you're absolutely right.
The whole rule, because I sure.
Well, actually, I have to say that I've been on a sufficient number of flights in the last couple of weeks that I have read both rules. What is it? What, 982 pages or something ridiculous like that in total? Yes, we will be circulating the specific areas. What we purely haven't done it here, just to try and streamline the slides, just to the salient points we need to agree upon. But yes, we will. And the output from this task force is going to be the letter of transmittal that's going to go to Don Rucker. And we're going to have a framework that we're going to use as we create that letter that's going to have the clear references, the clear text of the rules, and our commentary. And in our commentary, we will be, if you have detail and rewording, then that's great. But given the cadence we're working on and where ONC will go with the rule remaking, and Lauren, Richie, feel free to chime in on what you will do with this input, we can keep it high level and directional because of the amount of work we have to do.
Hey Andy, yeah. I would suggest that task force members read Section 171 in its entirety, and then with extra reading time, read the commentary associated with Section 171. But 171 is really the heart of what this task force is concentrating on. And you know, as a rule reader, always read the reg text first, and then read the commentary, as opposed to the, you know, everyone starts in the beginning and goes through, and that's actually not the most efficient way to read rules. So if you just go to the back. The actual reg text for Section 171 is deep, but not long.
That's a good point, and thanks for pointing that one out. You know, the actual text is like information blocking is like 170.401, the assurances is like 170.402, etc. And we'll be providing the entire task force with that kind of directional document that we're going to be working through, with the clear split ups to each of the groups as well. But that's, yeah. If people want to go and read it, 171 is the place to go. Okay, can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, I've taken tacit approval of everybody else, apart from Stephen, you've raised it. So, Mike, I'll hand you over to you to go through the actual schedules.
Sure, thanks, Andy. And these schedules have been made available to you, so I won't go through all of them, but the one thing that I'd like to point out is that we are on a very compressed timeline. If each task force would look at these schedules that are provided, this is group one. Obviously, we're already past the first couple of bullet points there. We had our kickoff meeting today. We're trying to do a couple of meetings a week for the first couple of weeks of the subgroup work so that we can get ready for the HITAC committee meeting on March 19th and 20th. So we have to have time to get all of that work done and have the conversations in the task force that we need to have moving forward. So, Mark, is it correct that you're going to be involved in all of these, or just as many as possible?
Yeah. So, I'm gonna try my best to be in all of them and provide support and background on the reg text and preamble that we're talking about. And you know, I guess as my schedule permits, it's possible I won't be able to attend. But we do have the staff lead backups, Morris. And Penelope, who specializes in the conditions of certification, will be available in many of the meetings as well.
Certainly. And the goal for these is, and Andy and I will be in every one that we can be. We may not both be there at the same time. We may both not be there for a subgroup meeting or two, but we will do our very best to be involved in as many as possible whenever our schedule permits. But the goal for these is to try to go through a couple of meetings a week, keep that cadence, two meetings a week for the subgroups, each subgroup, and then a meeting a week for the task force for the next couple of weeks. So if you'll look, moving on to group two, you'll see the work group schedule. If you could change to the next slide, please. Group two exceptions, very much, it's a little more detailed as to exactly what exceptions you'll be looking at during which part of the meeting, just to try to keep things on task, because there is a lot. I mean, there is a lot of work to do in all three task force, with exceptions, as everyone has mentioned. Interest in those are going to have a lot of interest. So we're trying to keep those as structured as possible with all the different points that we have to cover. So again, two meetings a week. We'll have a task force meeting, at least one a week. If it gets to be where we need to have more, we will have more to cover the discussion that we need to have. Denise, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. So as I'm looking at the schedule and the number of meetings, and I think, Lauren, you're on, right? So I am the co-chair for the CMC task force. And so what I'm wondering is, as far as deconflicting meetings between task forces, or is it going to be a little unrealistic for me to try to do both of these?
Well, so Denise, I'll just chip in here. Just so you know, I was also looking at doing USCDI, I've stepped back from that because for me to meet my obligations as the co-chair here, I'm not going to be able to do both. So, and I felt it was unrealistic.
Right. And Denise, this is Lauren. We'll certainly try to avoid any overlap and duplication in terms of timings. I know we've yet to work out the schedule for your task force, but we'll try to avoid mm-hmm. that if all possible. But we know that with four task forces going on concurrently, we may not be able to avoid that altogether.
All right. Well, at this point, I'll try to do the best I can. I know
exactly.
Next month I am traveling. If I have to, because I do have to put priority on the co-chair duties I have on the other task force. So if it gets to be too much in terms of deconflicting schedules, then I'll let you know, Lauren. And Andy, thank you.
Yeah, if you can. And we also recognize that whilst we've got a schedule here for the work groups, you know, you work groups might say, actually, we need some more time. We need to have some extra meetings in this space. We need to make them, you know, go as long as they need to go because there's a lot of material to go through. And we get that. But Denise, you know, do the best you can, but yeah, we have to prioritize, and I understand the position you're in.
Right, and I mean, these are set up to be general structures to try to get the work done. If you need more meetings, if the four members of the subgroup get together and are absolutely able to define everything that needs to be defined and get through their work in the first two meetings, then great. We'll present that work up to the task force and your work will be done, but I doubt seriously that will be what happens. So we're just trying to set a cadence to be able to manage all the work that needs to be done. If you could move on to the next slide, please. Again, same general structure, two meetings a week. We're having a kickoff meeting now, and then there's not as many topics to cover in here, but certainly just as much communication, just as much discussion. But again, with the goal of having a couple meetings a week so that we can present work back to the task force, discussions back to the task force. And just remember in all of this that, you know, the Andy, I know I'll speak for Andy as well, but the co-chairs are here to be escalation points. If there are things that need to come up that we need to discuss, feel free to reach out to us, to both of us, reach out to the HITECH staff, whoever, the ONC staff, whoever you need to reach out to. But we're here as escalation points. So if there's things that need to be addressed, please communicate early and often so that we can get this work done in the time allotted. We all realize that it's a very compressed schedule. Next slide, please. We'll hold on that. I'll let the staff talk about public comment. I know that Mark had some comments to make.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I'll try to be brief. Maybe I'll start with a few points I just want to make based on this conversation, which I think is really helpful and useful to hear what everyone has to say about the various work groups and all that. I just want to clarify one point that while each work group will have a goal of meeting two times each week, we're also going to have a full task force meeting as well. So there will likely be three meetings on average. And the full task force meeting, I believe, will meet at the same time every week on Friday. Like Michael and Andy mentioned, the schedules are just an estimate. We have no idea to know how quickly each group will progress. Some might go faster, some might go slower. So we're very open, I am, and the co-chairs are, of adding, you know, sessions to talk about various issues. Or if you feel like the work group has gotten through everything and you don't need to meet, say, two times in a couple weeks, then you definitely don't need to. I like the suggestion from the member who said that, you know, to provide page numbers, and I will try to, in the materials I send around before each meeting, I'll try to provide the sections and page numbers that are relevant. But I do agree that all of Section 171 is worth a read for this entire task force, and 100% agree that a good place to start is with the reg text, and then working your way through the preamble is a good order. One other important thing is that while our rule was released at the same time as the CMS interoperability rule, I want to emphasize that we are focusing on the ONC rule within this task force, though there are clearly common threads, and ideas in the two rules. We're going to stay focused on the ONC rule, and we have plenty to talk about given that it is about 700 pages and info blocking itself is about 200 pages. So I'm not concerned about having enough material to discuss. And the last thing I just want to say is about what our end goal is, and we're going to each work group will work together to come out with a recommendation or a number of recommendations about their subject matter, and it will culminate in a final transmittal letter from the HITECH Task Force, which will be created around week 11, which is April 29th to May 2nd, and then submitted to the National Coordinator on May 3rd. But within each work group, you can kind of choose the format you want to use to compile your thoughts and recommendations. I would just suggest that they follow a similar structure to the transmittal letter so that myself and the chairs can compile all the recommendations in a relatively easy way. I think that is about it for me. Just want to reiterate that I'm really looking forward to working with you all and hearing all the various viewpoints that you have on information blocking.
Stephen, I see that you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to comment. You mentioned that our focus is appropriately on the ONC rule, but there is an overlap with information blocking in the CMS rule that I don't think we should completely disregard. And as such, if it's not going to be an assigned focus of any of the work groups, may I suggest that perhaps we ask someone from CMS to come to one of our task force meetings to go over their conditions or their language related to information blocking and allow us to have a bit of a Q&A about that so that we are all on the same page with regard to that overlap.
Stephen, that's a good point. Lauren, can we make sure we extend that invite probably to the in week three? I mean, sooner rather than later. There's also the TEFCA HIE membership as well. I think that's inside the CMS rule. So it'd be good to have both those things straightened out.
So,
Sorry, go ahead, Lauren.
No, I was just going to say we have about 10 minutes before we need to open up for public comment. So, considering that time is of the essence, if we want to spend a few minutes diving into it, we can start. If you'd like to do that, we can go to public comment and then come back.
Let's go to public comments right now. I've no problems with ending task force meetings early if we've worked through all the materials we want to work through today. But let's go to public comment now.
Okay, great. Operator, can you please open the public line?
Yes, thank you. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thank you. And while we wait for others to join, I just wanted to mention I got a note offline from Aaron Neary. He wasn't able to join us today. So, Mark, we may just want to follow up with him offline concerning the work group structure just to make sure he didn't have any major concerns there. I think, and as well as Lauren Thompson, I think she indicated she was going to be absent today as well. So
okay,
with that, operator,
good.
do we have anyone dialed into the public line at this time?
Yes, there are no comments from the public line at this time.
Okay, then I will hand it back to our co-chairs for any closing remarks.
Thanks, Lauren. So, hey, it's Andy. I'll hand over to Mike in a second. Guys, thank you once again for agreeing to be part of this. We recognize that it's a heavy workload. We recognize that actually over the next sort of few weeks of your lives, this is invariably going to be a majority focus of your professional time. So thank you very much. This is fundamentally one of the most important pieces of change that we have going on in the healthcare ecosystem for several years. And I think it's going to have a profound impact for the better on patients, on how we handle information and how we generate better outcomes for patients. And therefore, it's going to fundamentally impact how providers are engaging. And this can only be a good thing. So thank you once again for wanting to be part of this and for making the vision in 21st century cures a reality. Thank you. Mike.
Yeah, I don't know that I could express it better than that, so I'm going to keep my comments brief. But, again, thank you very much for being willing to do this work. I know that it's work that we're all interested in, but I also know that it's work that is going to take time to get through. So I appreciate your willingness to serve and to review this material and take as much time out of your schedules as we're asking to get this work done. So thank you very much.
This is Mark. Just one other thing to add is that we're, due to the tight time frame we're working with, Andy and Michael and myself are going to try to work on getting meetings scheduled next week pretty soon. So be on the lookout in your inbox for that information.
Yes, thanks for that reminder, Mark. Okay, with that, I think we will adjourn for today, and we look forward to talking to everyone soon.
Oh, hang on a second. Stephen Lane's got his hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I know we had discussions earlier about the fact that some task force members are on other task forces, and we need to be mindful of the scheduling so that people can participate in all of their commitments. So I just wanted to mention that I'm also one of those folks. I'm going to be on the USCDI task force as well. And hopefully, as each of the task force's schedules get stood up, there's some sensitivity to those of us who are trying to serve double duty.
Yes,
we are sensitive. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We're making every effort to make this as painless as possible.
Okay,
Lauren. With that,
I think we can
adjourn for today, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Thanks all. Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.